Back here on Sports Talk, we're talking Saints versus Eagles coming up on Sunday. Happy to welcome in Ruben Frank, who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. How you been, Ruben? I know rough Monday night football for Philly.
Yeah, it was a tough one, and it was kind of like last year all over again. They blew three leads after the 2-minute warning last year, and they did it again. So certainly not what anybody was looking for from the home opener on a night they were honoring Nick Foles, Super Bowl hero. So definitely a very disappointing evening.
Definitely disappointing to see the pass rush, I feel like, of the Eagles, and then the run defense. Those two things really stood out as a sore spot for Philly.
Yeah, I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. Those are the two areas, and they were two areas we really had some questions about coming into the season. That their edge rushers don't have a sack. In fact, their edge rushers have gone six straight games without a sack going back to last year. That's the longest streak. I spent about an hour looking this one up. It's the longest streak in history, in franchise history. And the run defense, they're, I think, the seventh team in history to allow 6.5 yards per carry through two games. I mean, the numbers are staggering. I mean, teams are just pushing them around up front. It wasn't that long ago the defensive front was the strength of this team, and to see what it's become is really, really concerning.
Concerning, I would imagine, too, is the head coach, Nick Sirianni. I saw something funny going into the season. It was like they've got the Eagles going from anywhere to the Super Bowl from Nick Sirianni being the first head coach fired this season. And I know the seat's got to be kind of hot for him considering how things fell apart last year. And then in this game to see another collapse definitely doesn't help his stock.
Yeah, and, you know, you're talking about a guy who went into the game with the 11th highest winning percentage in history by a head coach. But you're right, because when you start losing games like this over and over, you know, owners don't take too kindly to that. And they're big on culture and all that stuff. And when your culture is blowing big leads late in games, yeah, it doesn't matter what you did. I mean, 2 years ago was a long time ago. 19 months ago, this team played in a Super Bowl and almost beat the Chiefs. But, you know, that's ancient history in football. That's how these things go. And I think if Nick makes the playoffs this year, his job is safe. Jeff Lurie's not one to fire coaches who've made the playoffs four straight years, where he'd be, you know, one of a very few number of coaches in history to do that. But if this keeps happening, yeah, there's bound to be a change if he can't turn this around.
Ruben, I just want to highlight, you know, dating back to that Super Bowl run that was so magical, Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen, who are now obviously the head coaches of Arizona and Indianapolis, respectively, the DC and the OC of that Eagles squad. I mean, how big of a loss really was that? Because you saw, you know, last year the Eagles got off to a red-hot start without those guys, but then when it got down to crunch time and, you know, December and late in the year, it's just where this kind of, I mean, what is it now, 2-7 in their last nine games? It's where that kind of all started.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's a great question. It's a great point, because they were both exceptional. You see what Gannon's doing in Arizona. I mean,
absolutely.
I thought the Colts would be. I thought the Colts would be really, really good this year. So I kind of missed on that one. But Gannon's a terrific coach. Steichen's a tremendous offensive coordinator. And and not only did they miss those guys when they took head coaching jobs after the Super Bowl, but they replaced them with, no, two guys who are decent position coaches, but just weren't ready to become coordinators. They're both young guys, first-time coordinators, and it didn't work out. And so they went from, you know, I think, two really exceptional coordinators in 22 to two rookie coordinators who were overmatched and weren't able to make adjustments as the year went on. And I think that's why you saw the collapse at the end of the year. They just became so predictable. They didn't have coaches who could kind of bust them out of those trends. So, I think they did well with Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio this year, but they got to do it on the field.
Looking at that game last night, too, an interview with A.J. Brown, I think he had Eagles fans and fantasy football owners' mouths on the floor when he just came out and said basically his hamstring injury is going to keep him out multiple weeks. What's this Philly, you know, wide receiving group looking like without an A.J. Brown in the mix? Obviously, I know DeVonta Smith now becomes your number one guy.
Yeah, and he was kind of 1A anyway. I mean, he's terrific, but they just don't have anybody else. And I think this was really kind of a personnel failing by the GM, Howie Roseman, because, you know, he hitched his wagon to two guys in training camp who were kind of fighting for that third outside receiver spot, Paris Campbell and John Ross. So two kind of reclamation projects, guys who had been failures as high picks. And they tried to kind of rejuvenate their careers, and it didn't work. And they weren't very good, and they didn't make the team. Paris Campbell's on the practice squad now. But the problem is they went out and they traded a third-round pick to Washington for Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
But by the time they got him, camp was over. Opening day was like a week and a half away. He doesn't know the offense. He's not ready. Played 56 snaps yesterday, had 6 yards and one target. So he's not ready. So, you know, they played four receivers other than Devontae last night, and they totaled 23 yards. Now, that's not ideal. And it just makes them so much easier to defend. If they had a legitimate second threat at wideout, you know, at least you can keep defenses honest. But it's basically he's either thrown to Goddard, to Saquon, or to Devontae. And, you know, Kellen Moore's big on spreading the ball around to everybody. It's just tough to do that when you don't have viable two, three, and four receivers.
Ruben, looking up front, the offensive line, obviously losing a future potential first ballot Hall of Famer and someone like Jason Kelce, and replacing him with Cam Jurgens, a third-year player, a former second-round pick. What have you kind of seen from – because we always talk about the offensive line, and when you really highlight the center spot, the quarterback, so to speak, of the offensive line, so much revolves around the center, and you obviously have to have a good one. I mean, Philadelphia had an elite one for so many years, but what's kind of the early kind of takeaway from what you've seen so far from Cam Jurgens?
Yeah, Jason Kelce's really been maintaining a low profile since he retired.
No kidding, huh?
He was outside the link tailgating with fans yesterday and all that. He's been great with Cam. He's been really helpful. He's around. He's in the building a lot. He actually helped scout Cam Jurgens when he was in Nebraska. He kind of worked with Jeff Stoutland, the O-line coach, and the personnel department, finding a center who was similar to him as far as size and athleticism and power. And Cam Jurgens has handled this. And I think when you're following a Hall of Famer, it's like a twofold challenge. A, you got to be a good player, but you also have to deal with the expectations and people, oh, he's following Jason Kelce. And that's a hard thing to do. You know, following any superstar all-timer, like you said, probably a first-ballot Hall of Famer, he's handled that beautifully. I think he's done a good job. The O-line's been one of the few kind of bright spots on this team. They're very, very good. Mekhi Becton coming in at right guard, a position he's never played before. But Cam's been really good, as advertised. A couple illegal man-downfield penalties that they got to get cleaned up, but that's more kind of procedural than play. He's been terrific.
Talking to Ruben Frank, who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia, and a name definitely been hearing a lot from Philly's defense. Game one, game two, Zach Bond, former Saint, we know him well here, and seems to really be fitting in with that defense, though.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the first day of OTAs, we saw Zach Bond, an off-ball linebacker, and we're like, what are they doing? He's kind of an edge rusher. That's why we thought they'd bring him in as like a rotational edge rushing piece. But Vic Fangio had seen him play a handful of snaps with the Saints at off-ball linebacker and liked what he saw and kind of projected that he could play that position. And he's been good. A couple of missed tackles last night, but I think everybody had a couple of those. Interesting move, kind of unusual scouting to make the position change that he's made, but yeah. He's played well. He's been one of the few bright spots on defense, and you know they've got a lot of questions at linebacker. I mean, he's on a 1-year deal, so we'll see what they do if they want to keep him. But he's played really well. Good guy and plays hard. He's a very tough guy, more athletic than I expected, and he's been really good.
What about the defensive backfield, Ruben? And I just want to highlight Quinyon Mitchell, the first-round pick out of Toledo, taken 22nd overall this past year. I mean, what have you seen so far from him as they kind of try to bolster the defensive backfield?
Yeah, and they took corners with their first two picks.
Yeah,
they really
DeGene
had to
well.
Do that. Yeah, Cooper DeGene from Iowa. So they're, you know, the first time in franchise history they've taken D-backs with two of the first 40 picks. So they were the worst, or second worst behind Washington, but kind of the worst secondary statistically in the NFL last year. They had to address it, and they got CJ, GJ, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back. And I think they've got some really good young guys, and Quinyon has been terrific. He kind of carries himself like a veteran, plays like a veteran. He got beat last night for the first time as a pro. That's going to happen to every corner. We saw it happen to Slay at the end of the game. But I think they've got something in both these kids, DeGene and Quinyon Mitchell. And, you know, there's questions about level of play when you're coming out of you know, Toledo, what are they? I don't even know. Are they in the MAC probably?
Yes.
There's going to be questions about level of competition, but he hasn't backed down. And, you know, every day in practice, he's going up against AJ and Devontae, AJ when he's healthy, obviously. But he's really impressive, and he's just going to get better. They just haven't drafted. You know, they've kind of had all these veteran corners coming and going, and some have been decent, some have been not so good, but they really haven't addressed it with a young, homegrown player. And they did it twice in this draft, so I think they're in good shape there.
Ruben, one thing Saints fans didn't like to see last night was Jalen Hurts. Looks like he is running the ball as well as he has in the past. I think he was nicked up towards the end of last year, so you didn't really see him taking off so much. But there were some moments last night that I know Dennis Allen defenses have had trouble with mobile quarterbacks, and that's certainly a concern Sunday in the Superdome.
Yeah, well, you know, the Eagles might have to score 50 to be in the game with him. But, we hadn't seen that from Jalen really since the middle of 22, that kind of explosiveness and elusiveness. You're right. He was never on the injury report last year, but he was not healthy late in the season, and it showed. I mean, he looked sluggish. He looked slow. We don't know. He won't tell us what was bothering him, what the issue was, whether it was a foot or ankle or knee. It was the best he's looked. 85 yards rushing, 6 first downs rushing. And when you're missing AJ, you need every possible weapon. And I think it was really encouraging to see the way he ran because that really changes how defenses have to play you. And you have to account for him. Now all of a sudden you're taking somebody away in coverage or elsewhere. So, that was good to see. It really kind of came out of the blue because he hasn't done that in so long. So we'll see if he can sustain it.
Ruben Frank, who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Check out all his great work. Definitely appreciate the time and hopefully be seeing you in the Dome on Sunday.
You got it. Anytime.
Thanks, Ruben.
Like I said, Ruben Frank, you can follow him on Twitter at ROOB, Rube, NBCS.